Hello and welcome to Mellowpod, the finale. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
Oh, guys, we've reached the end of the road.
It's been 6 long weeks. Or oh, don't you say it? It's been 84
years.
Oh, so for the uninitiated, this is the show where we talk about Melodifestivalen, which is Sweden's show to pick their entry for the Eurovision Song Contest. And we have hit the grand finale, week 6 of this extravaganza. And I'm kind of sad because it means it's over for another year.
It's a bit like the Boxing Day feeling after Christmas, the day after. And all you've got left over is a hangover and a half-eaten box of celebrations.
Mm. Oh, it is. I'm going to get Melfest depression, I think.
Yeah. Oh. It has been pretty mad, though. Like, what, 6 weeks, 35 different artists thereabouts?
Yes, loads of artists. Mm. Lots of fun over the last 6 weeks. Lots of chats, lots of picking apart songs, mm-hmm. costumes, staging. We really have gone in depth. So we're above and beyond for you, the listener.
As I frequently say, Gary, normally I say, you do it so I don't have to. But this time, we've done it so the listeners don't have to.
Mm. Maybe they'll be encouraged to do their own next year. But still listen to us, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, don't abandon us, please, dear listener. Right, so we are in Stockholm for the finale. 27,000 people in that arena.
It was rammed, wasn't it? It was a really good party atmosphere. It was really, really impressive.
And such a change from the previous year where it had all been studio-based. Mm. Nobody was allowed in to come and observe because of the restrictions at the time. And just in the last 6 weeks, we started with week one with some social distancing and a limited audience, just a couple of thousand or so, to the full-on arena experience. Mm-hmm. No distancing, full crowd. It was just exactly where we were back in 2020, 2019.
Yeah.
And it was nice. It was a nice feeling. So we kick off the finale with, I'm just a quick side note. I can't say the word final now. I keep on saying finale.
Finale.
Which is the Swedish pronunciation of final. This is what it's done to me.
We'll beat it out of you, Gary.
You're becoming Scandified.
We start the finale with a marching band parade across the arena with the artist trailing behind them. This is just Eurovision, isn't it?
It was an opening ceremony.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I was a bit like, you know, like what the High School Musical is going on here with the marching band stuff. But then I was like, oh, it's just almost a bit almost like the Olympics, isn't it? Just
yes. It is. It's very Olympified.
Yeah.
And I like it.
It was a great way to open the show. It felt very celebratory.
Definitely.
Which is probably exactly what they need.
Yes.
After the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So we have Oscar on presenting duties, joined by Farah at the beginning. And it does feel like she's come out of the shadows now. Because originally it was Oscar Zier is hosting this year. And Farah's name was very much, you know, in small letters, it felt like, beneath him. He was the headline act, and she was the support. It kind of felt like there'd been an evening and a levelling up here, and Farah and Oscar were seen on a joint.
Yeah, it was an equal footing.
Equal footing.
Yeah.
Which was nice, that Farah's role has grown. Because we said in week one, didn't we, with Oscar, we felt he needed a bit of support, somebody to bounce off and somebody to work with.
Mm. Yeah, it was that kind of like that chemistry. He did need somebody to bounce off. That's why he worked so well, I think, last year with Anis. Mm. I think him and Anis last year had a very similar sense of humour, and so they were able to riff off each other very, very easily.
Yes.
And when he was on his own, pretty much in the first semi-final, like 5-6 weeks ago, I think that showed a bit, and he was very nervous, and I think like he needed a bit of company.
Oh. But he's got Farah with him today for the final, and I think they did a great job. Very much a team effort, I think, for this one. So, shall we crack on and look at the songs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we actually have that much to say about the songs? Because for some of them, this is the third time we're talking about them.
Yeah, that is a good point.
So, first up, kicking us off was Clara Hammerström, Run to the Hills. So, returning artist from last year, as we mentioned before. She was incredibly popular this week in terms of the Swedish charts, topping it. Also very popular near the top of the charts on Spotify in Sweden as well. So, did we expect her to do better?
Yes, I think so. I think the fact that she didn't do very well on the international jury votes, did she? She didn't do too bad on the televote.
No, so if we look at the breakdown of the votes, she was 10th, 27 points from the international jury.
Not a lot.
But the televote, she was 4th, 56 points. Mm. Well, actually, she kind of joined 3rd with Medina, maybe?
Yes.
Because they got 56 as well.
Yeah.
On that. I mean, it's in terms of, you know, the staging of the show, that's not really changed. She's still in her Wonder Woman / Flash outfit.
Yep.
And she's still got her single dancer performing next to her in green. It didn't really feel like the staging had changed much.
No.
It's still a good song. I still think it's Scooter. Sorry. But it is.
Yeah.
But we were seeing more references to that, maybe wolves, werewolves, we were saying.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Silent Social Media Bob mentioned this, didn't he? His theory is that Clara Hammerström is singing about being a werewolf.
Right. Well, there is a line about howling at the moon,
yeah,
running to the hills. Mm-hmm. You know, perhaps it's the full moon, and she's like, I need to get away from people because I don't want to hurt them.
Yeah, it fits.
her backing dancer kind of looks a bit like Milena Ehrman, who did Le Voix in 2009. It's just, I catch glimpses of the dancer's face and think, is that Milena? Who's Greta Thunberg's mum?
Oh, yeah.
When she did the popper back in 2009. Mm. But, yes, yeah, so we asked the Magic 8 Ball, didn't we, when we did our Best of the Fest radio show
on the
final night. If we said, was Clara Hammerström going to win Melfest based on her chart position and her Spotify numbers? And we got a yes, wasn't it?
Didn't we, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is almost certain.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, I think, is the
almost,
key word.
Yeah.
There. Sadly, it was not to be. No. So I think in the final ranking, where did she come?
She came sixth.
Sixth,
with 83 points.
Yes.
Middle of the pack.
Down. Yeah.
Middle. Nothing to be ashamed of there.
No. No. That's all.
Done well. And you know what? She's got a number one in Sweden. She's got her numbers on Spotify, yep, etc. This is a win for her, no matter where she has come on these results. Mm-hmm. And this will only further her career. Just a quick word, after we saw Clara, for some reason they stuck Oscar between the two most miserable people in the audience.
Yeah, the miserable twins.
Oh, my God. I'm just looking at the video clip of them now. And they've got the balloons, they've got the feather boas, and they look like they're here to party. But it's very much... yeah. I wonder if they were reading his teleprompter or something.
Maybe. I think especially the one on our right, when we're looking at the screen. For them, it was on the left. But, you know, the face that she had, and there was like that. There was like the moment. It was almost like someone had, you know, turned on the happy switch and just gone, click, happy, hey, here, joy, yay. And then back down again, just miserable.
Sorry to the woman in the audience there. We're not throwing shade at you. We just happened to notice you got on camera. There's more than we've ever done.
I mean,
we've not been in that arena.
We're just jealous. Are throwing shade. We kind of are.
I'm trying to be nice now. We're just jealous because we haven't got to go yet.
Yeah.
One day
we will get to Melfest or Eurovision or something.
Song number two then, which is Tales. Somme du Ville, which is As You Like, one of the few Swedish language songs in tonight's show. And in terms of changes, we've got a bit of a pimped tracksuit. Got some stripes on it and these blue trackies now, which we noticed. lots more pyro at this, at the end, I think, for this. A lot of money seems to be thrown in terms of pyro. Has this one grown on you, Alex?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've never particularly been a fan of those sort of boy bandy, poppy types. But it is a catchy song. It is a really catchy song. So it has definitely grown on me.
Well, you were definitely singing the chorus last night. So obviously it's easy to pick up.
Yeah.
You, you don't speak Swedish. Yeah, you were able to sing along with the chorus quite happily.
It's like three words repeated over and over.
Yeah.
It's fairly easy to pick up.
True. It's bubblegum.
Yeah.
It's perhaps not the kind of song you would perhaps hear on commercial radio here. Do you think it's a bit too bubblegum?
Maybe a little bit.
The UK perhaps wouldn't.
I think it would depend on what radio station you were showing it on.
Fun Kids.
Yeah, you might have it on like some commercial radio stations. I'm not sure you get it on Radio 1 or Radio 2.
True. So where did he come in the rankings then?
So, on the international jury, Teos ended up with 39 points from the jury. Fifth place.
Okay.
Not too bad, actually.
Any difference on the televote?
He was scored a sort of middling eighth place with 26 points.
Okay, so not drifting too far.
No.
Yeah, like all in all, he came seventh place with 65 altogether. So, that's not a terrible result.
Not at all. Not a Marmite song, it seems. Then everyone's just like, yeah, that's kind of nice. And in fact, he got a 12 pointer, didn't he, from one of the international juries?
Oh, I think it was the Czech Republic.
Yes, they really liked him.
Yeah.
So he did. He's certainly doing the business in at least some of the countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to song number three, Anna Bergendahl. Higher Power. Now, you know, we've mentioned before, I've had a love-hate relationship with Anna Bergendahl because of her non-qualification and her horrible song in 2010, which I didn't like. She's not really come back and done that style. The last three times she's competed, she's done this kind of country pop mix of it. In terms of the performance on the final, not massively different, apart from the hair.
Yeah, she's let her hair down. Both figuratively and literally.
And I have to say, the hat is looking a little battered. The Alexis Colby hat. I was comparing it to her previous performances, and it's definitely got a few creases, I think.
Well, you've been chucking it that many times in rehearsals and performances.
Yeah, how many times has that been tossed off the stage?
That sounds
what
a little,
she said.
That sounds a little dodgy there, Gary.
But you know what? She attacks it. I've said this before. She gives it her all on every single time. She has fun with it. We've got more smoke. We've got some more lights around the platform. So it looks like a power dial. Silent social media Bob commented. But it didn't do very well, did it, on the rankings?
No, it didn't.
I think the problem is, like we've said, it's a perfectly pleasant song, but it's not going to rock anybody's world, I don't think.
No.
So, I mean,
international jury, 12th.
Yeah.
Bottom.
Only one country gave it points. 11 points from, I think it was Spain.
I think she picked up another.
She picked up 10 points from one country.
And one point
from one other.
Oh, I didn't know. I was just focusing on the fact that Spain gave her, like, one of its highest points. Was like, oh, somebody likes her. She has a friend somewhere.
I guess, and for the first few international jury votes, she had nothing.
No,
she kept on
nothing.
Missing
nothing,
out.
Nothing.
Every other song was picking up something.
Yeah.
But she was being continually overlooked. And I felt bad.
I think it's the Britishness in us. You know, we always like to see that everybody has a little bit of something.
Mm.
You know, we don't like anybody to be left out completely.
Yes.
So I think that's our culture.
Mm.
We were sympathising because of the double zero that the UK got at Eurovision in 2021.
We know what it feels like to be the unpopular one, last picked.
In terms of the televote, though, where did she come?
Tenth.
Tenth, okay.
18 points.
18 points, so not dead last, but again, hovering around the bottom of the scoreboard.
In fact, you could say she came joint ninth with Faith Kikemba.
Actually, there was a couple that scored same number of points, so it's more like... Trying to do the maths here to figure out, like...
Yes, you could say there were maybe 10 places rather than 12 in the end in some of the televote stuff. Final ranking there was...
Dead last.
Last, 29 points.
Yeah.
Because of the international jury is just not connecting with it, seems. No. Don't know if that's going to put her off, if she will come back and do it a fourth time, or is she going to take a break? I mean, she was training to be a doctor.
Yeah.
I don't know if those studies are finished. I don't know if she's got a day job still. Or if she's going to continue with the music career. But I don't know. You kind of think, because every time she's come back, it's diminishing returns, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's never quite hit the heights.
The thing I'm noticing, though, about it, comparing the jury to the televotes, with the jury votes, there's a steady progression in terms of difference in places. So it's not particularly clear. There was no clear favourite among the juries. But if you look at the points for the televotes, there is a clear point where you're like, okay, these are the ones afterwards that are the ones that people really liked, and we'll get to those later down the line.
We will. The next cab off the rank is song number 4, John Lundvik, Englevakt.
Oh, John.
No, so singing in Swedish, not English. Now, I had read a story that said he had asked if he could sing the English language version for the jury final, which is the Friday night kind of dress rehearsal, really, is what it would normally be, but it's now been converted to be a jury final. So you can't hold back. Just like on Eurovision, you've got to give it your all on the jury final as well, because those points count. And as we'll find out, they can be, the difference between winning and losing the contest.
Definitely.
He was told no. He could not sing in English for that
they
final.
They politely declined, I'd read.
So, was this him thinking, I need to be in English to be able to connect with those international juries?
Maybe.
Not necessarily. Like, I think, I'm thinking about the results of it. You know, if we look at how the international juries voted, John Ludwig ended up coming fourth. With his, he was 43 points.
Yeah.
So, it proved at the end of the day that, perhaps he didn't need to sing in English to appeal to the international juries.
His doubts were unfounded.
Yeah.
On that one. How did he score on the televote?
11th with 17 points.
Second to last. Now, that is strange because you remember when he went through his heat and they were announcing the winner of each age group by the app. He won nearly every category, didn't he?
He did, yes. That's right.
Because this was week 2 when they first got the app voting working. And we commented and said, this got really boring very quickly because it was just 12 points go to John Lundvik.
John Lundvik. But that's the thing of it is that it was a different group of songs that he was competing up against, When you're looking at who he was competing with in the final compared to who he was in his heat, it's a very different set of songs with a very different level of talent.
Definitely. So, total result for him, where was he?
He was 8th.
8th with 60 points.
Again, not a shocking result, but you would perhaps expect him to come higher, knowing kind of like his previous performances.
Yes. In terms of the actual performance itself, it was pretty much what it was on his heat. However, as we're seeing now, when we're looking at the video playback, everybody's got their phones out and their torches on their phones and waving, yeah. and it creates this kind of beautiful starscape almost.
Mm. Mm.
That's a real moment.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to translate well with the Swedish people who were voting at home. Okay, on to song number 5 then. Donna Sekelius, My Way. Now, so the first trans contestant for Melody Festival Orlen. This is a message song, as we've said before.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It still holds up really well, I think.
It's been a firm favourite of all three of us, hasn't it?
Definitely.
Since the first heat
that
she performed in.
Definitely. It's a banger. It's one of those ones that starts off quiet, then builds and builds and builds.
Yeah.
And we got pyro curtains again. It was, you know, they kept that over from the second chance.
Yeah.
I think Tona continued to grow in confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe others have better vocals.
Yeah. Mm. Arguably, her backing singers pulled her up a little bit. Mm. Although the studio version of that song, she sings phenomenally on. But again, you can get the absolutely best edit out of that, can't you, as well, when it's a studio version.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'd say the only bit about the song that I don't like is the spoken word bit near the end, where she talks about people being legal and heard and don't be ignorant. And I don't know, it's not that I don't agree with that, because obviously I do. I don't know, it just seemed a little...
Clunky, out of place. Yes, with the rest of the song, perhaps.
But still great, and that dress,
that red dress
is phenomenal.
Which had a pimp on it.
Yeah.
We had some stoning on it. So somebody had got the rhinestones out and a hot cloak on, and spent hours. That red dress is gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
It really is.
And yeah, she's taken it to another level in every performance, from the heat to the second chance to the final. That costume has been evolved. Mm. And it's been really good to see. So in terms of votes, how did we get on?
A bit middle of the road with the international jury. Came in 8th, 31 points. I kind of expected it to do a little bit better, with it having been a bit of a message song.
Mm.
And I always think that juries tend to like that sort of thing. Mm. You know, they get a little bit excited for it, don't they?
Yes.
I don't know, because there is also the argument that, you know, we don't want Eurovision to get too political, as it were.
Mm.
I mean, you could, whether you think that the message in it was political or not, you know, there are people who are going to think, oh, that's Tone hammering her politics onto an international audience.
Well, I was just thinking, is, you know, trans rights is they're controversial.
Yeah.
In some countries they are, and you do wonder if that will colour some juries' opinions of that song.
I think it will, but at the same time, it is a necessary message for us to hear.
Oh, absolutely.
So while I do still believe that, you know, there are juries that are going to be slightly jaded and, you know,
well,
have their own political feelings affect their voting, I do think it is one of those messages that we need to hear a lot more of. So,
definitely.
You know, props to you, Tone.
There are absolutely going to be some countries that will out and out completely disagree with the message of that song will be... they will not agree with it 100%, and would potentially disagree with voting for it because of the content of the song and the singer.
Yeah.
So having her there, I think, is vitally important to bring that message across.
Well, thankfully the televoters felt slightly differently. Mm-hmm. Fifth place.
Yep.
This 53.
When I was going back saying about the ones that, you know, were really well, who had the big gap in points, Tone was the first of them with 53. When you compare that to the next person down, who only scored 29, we'll get to her in a minute. It's amazing to see just how popular Tone and some of the other ones up there, because Clara's up there, who've talked about as well, and obviously a few others. But there were five of them at the top who really, really swayed the public vote, and we're like, these are the ones we really like.
Mm.
And for Tone to be up there among them is really significant and really powerful, and says a lot about the message and the music that she's putting out there.
Definitely. And so that was a fifth place overall.
Yeah.
With 84 points.
I'd like to see more of Tone Sekelius.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come bring more of your music to Eurovision.
Yeah, I think they'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, song number six. Anders Bagge.
Ah.
Bigger Than the Universe. So, now this is like, for the UK, Simon Cowell doing Song for Europe, basically. Because Anders Bagge is a judge on things like Swedish Idol.
Yeah.
So he's used to sitting in the judges panel and critiquing other singers. And he's worked in the music business for decades, and he's, you know, worked with some amazing artists like Madonna. So very much behind the scenes. Mm. This is the first time he's stepped in front of the mic, sung a song. He has talked about his, you know, his struggle with his confidence, and he didn't think he was good enough to sing. And this has proved that he absolutely can.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, I was just thinking, for a lot of people, when it's like people like Anders who judge those music shows, it's people can say it's very easy for you to judge other people's music if you've never sung yourself. And Anders, absolutely, talk about, you know, putting your money where your mouth is. Like, hit it out of the park from the first time he sung that song.
And he has that. I saw a quote where he said he really didn't want to win, and he's very glad he didn't.
Mm.
And he's probably more happy than the winner was at that point. And that he is never coming back to Melfest as a performer again. He's done it, and he doesn't want to do it again.
In a way, I kind of respect that. You know, he can say, I've done it. It wasn't necessarily for me, but I've shown to myself that I can do it and that I'm good enough. And that's enough for me.
Yeah, that's it. He's got over that fear. And perhaps he's proved a point. When people are saying, who are you to sit there and judge other people singing?
Yeah,
There you go.
Yeah,
that's why.
It's interesting. For us three, we've all really liked this song. And I think, especially for me, it was the fact that he sung it so well. His vocals were on point all the way through. Very, very good songs. But I've seen online people commenting and saying, you know, thank goodness for the jury vote. Otherwise, they'd have ended up with Anders Bagge as their contestant. So didn't seem to be internationally very well liked by the public.
No.
I don't get.
Mm-hmm. I think possibly the song is a smidgen old-fashioned, maybe.
Mm.
It's not as current as some of the other songs. But the quality of the vocals, I think, overrides that for me a little.
Yeah, it's a really good song, and it's very well staged. He kind of pimped the video a bit by putting a Starscape firework effect on his, you know, he's got lots of drone shots, hasn't he, of fields and mountains and, you know, streaking across the earth. So it's all very dramatic. You know, it's all done by the video screen rather than, you know, pyros and stuff like that. And he hasn't got dancers throwing themselves around. It, in terms of staging, it's relatively simple.
Yeah.
It's all relying on that video wall. And no massive changes from his Heat performance. He's got a slightly different jacket on. He's got a nice little brooch on his jacket. How did he do in the rankings then? What was his international jury score?
So Anders scored 7th on the international jury. He got 31 points.
Mm, so really not setting the board alight at all.
No.
But on the televote, he was the most popular. He's got the first place with 90 points.
So, very firm favourite then with the Swedish public.
I wonder if the Swedish public really just fell in love with that kind of like lack of self-confidence and how he reacted when he got through in his heat. Because he practically cried, didn't he?
And he's a familiar face.
Yeah.
Having done all these Idol shows and stuff like that, he's somebody who's probably been on TV week after week for years.
Yeah.
So very familiar. So translated to a second place then, 121 points.
Yep.
And so, interesting, if just a couple more juries had scored him, just given like 4, 5, 6 points, whatever, we've just got a few more middling points, that could have propelled him to the first place.
Yeah,
that
could have.
If the artist that wins Melfest, can they still decline the Eurovision place?
I don't think they can. Because it's, you know, San Remo, for example, in Italy, that's its own contest.
Yeah.
And it is kind of written into the contract about you're competing for San Remo and the winner will be offered the choice of Eurovision and you can decline it. That's fine. Melody Festivalen is to select the act for Eurovision. Therefore, the contract should hopefully say, no, if you win, you have to do it.
Yeah.
That's why you competed. We don't want a Germany situation from a couple of years ago where the winning act actually went, you know what, don't want to do it. And just handed the trophy over to the second place.
Oh, my word.
On live television.
Goodness me.
Right, on to our next song, which is song number 7, Robin Bengtsson, Innocent Love. We've seen Robin before. He's a previous winner. This is his fourth attempt. I think now, yes, because he won on his second attempt, came back for a third, didn't get very far. Now he's back for a fourth. Do we like him anymore?
Definitely a grower for me.
And this, because he was in heat number 1, I believe.
Yeah.
So a long way back. We've had to go pass our mind back to the 5, 6 weeks.
And I can barely remember what happened yesterday, never mind 6 weeks ago.
He's tweaked his staging slightly. He's reversed his costume.
Yeah.
He was wearing a white shirt with a black T-shirt for his heat, and he's flipped that round. He's now got a black shirt with a white T-shirt.
Groundbreaking.
Well, there was also a moment in his heat performance where he walked up to the mic, and you see him from the back walking up to the mic. That's reminiscent of his winning performance in 2017 with I Can't Go On, where he kind of walked from backstage. All the way out to the front of stage. I think there was a nod to that, and that got lost. That was axed on the final performance. He feels like it's a slightly different Robin. You know, he's not got the slick dance moves and the dancers behind him for this song. He's got a band. It's like he's like, I'm going past that. I'm past that kind of boy bandish bubblegummy image, and I want to be seen as a slightly more serious artist, perhaps.
I'm musician, darling.
Musician. like you said, very much a grower, not a winner. I don't really have massive strong feelings on it. It's something that I will listen to again. In time, though. Not rushing to repeat. How did he do?
Well, I don't think anyone else had particularly strong feelings about it either, because international jury scored 9th place with 29 points, and then in the televote he scored dead last with 5.
Ouch.
5 points in the televote, so overall that is an 11th place with 34.
Oof. But it's a strong year.
It is a strong year. I think
there was a lot of like combinations of like old faces and new talent.
And so I think just getting to the final is an achievement on that, and nobody should feel bad. Yeah. I'm sure they don't, because I'm sure he'll get plenty of sales out of this. He'll get a good chart placing. He'll get a good Spotify ranking as well. You know, Melfest is not going to tank your career at all. It's always going to do some good for you, I think. Song number 8 then. Let's move on. This is Faith Kakembo and Freedom. We've said this before, but it's very similar to Tusa's song and performance from last year. So it didn't feel like anything new necessarily was being brought to the table.
No, I said a lot last year about Tusa that I think his song captured a zeitgeist at that particular moment with the Black Lives Matter movement.
Right.
And I think our mainstream media is extremely fickle. And I think, in some ways, although the issue is still ever present in society, the media has moved on. And I think fickle members of the public have also moved on.
Yeah. I can understand yeah. that. Yes, it was a hot topic last year.
Mm.
This time, the news cycle, there's very different things happening in the world. Yeah. So that the focus is elsewhere. Mm. And I think it was always going to be difficult for a song very reminiscent of Tusa's to do it, especially the year after.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that she's an anaesthetist during the day. And there was a comment we saw from the commentators that said when she went through, because she went through Second Chance, didn't she?
No, I think she was an automatic qualifier.
Oh, was it? She was automatic. I forgot now.
Yeah.
I really should look at my notes.
That was semi-final three and I wasn't here for that. So last night is the first time I saw that being performed live.
Oh, okay. Yes, you're right. Faith went straight through to the final. There was a comment made, I think, that she'd actually volunteered to do a shift at the hospital on the final night. Such was her confidence of not getting through. She had to find somebody to cover.
Bless.
So she,
I could just imagine the text message comment said, "Would you mind doing my shift next Saturday?" I was like, oh, "Well, I've got stuff on. Why can't you do it?" Well, I'm singing in the Melfest final.
I wonder if she's back on shift today on Sunday. Right, how did she do in the rankings?
Let's have a look. Faith was sixth in the international jury, so that's pretty decent. She got 33 points altogether. In the televote, not great. She scored ninth place in the televote. She only got 18 points, same as Anna Bergendahl. Altogether, Faith came 10th with 51.
I'm sure she'll be happy with that.
Well, you know, it's...
This is not her career necessarily.
No, she's not trying to make a living out of performing, is she? She's, as we say, she's a nurse.
Okay. Let us move on to our next song, which is song number 9, Liamo Bluffin.
When the night turns to dust, I become so horny.
You wish.
That is not the lyric.
I know, it's just what it sounds like. In my head, that's what he's singing.
Oh, dear. This is the one I don't really like. Apart from John Lundvik. that was the other song I wasn't particularly fussed about, because I've said it before, this is Benjamin Ingrosso Part 2. It's all about him on stage and not and you know, creating this music video of kind of feeling rather than performing in an arena and with the crowd. But very Radio 1 friendly. I've been... heard on good authority from people who actually listen to Radio 1, because I don't, too old, that it wouldn't look out of place, actually, and would be quite mainstream for the UK. You never know. Maybe somebody in the UK will pick up on it. And you know, Scott Mills, are you listening? You should be watching Melfest.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's a Eurovision buff, isn't he?
Either you two feel strongly about it?
Not really.
No. It was okay. You know, it was performed adequately. It was sung adequately. It was staged adequately.
Well,
it was complete jury fodder.
So, yes, in terms of how they did in the rankings, I think we had a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. It was definitely jury fodder because it scored second in the international jury. It got 65 points altogether.
That was a bit... We just all kind of sat there with our mouths open when those scores were coming. What? Are we all just too old to see this?
Yeah, I think maybe we just didn't get it.
What about the televote, though? Any love?
Some, but not as much as others. It came 7th place in the televote. It got 26 points, same as Tios.
Okay, and overall result?
Overall results, Liamo was 4th, 91 points.
And so that's thanks to the juries then.
Yeah, they completely got thanks to the point. Thanks to the jury. Has Liamu done this before?
Yeah,
I think he has, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been there before. I'm kind of glad he didn't win, just because, as I said, we don't want Benjamin Ingrosso again, because that didn't do the numbers.
Well, apart from the Mommers, we've had like a pretty much a steady stream of male solo artists, haven't we, from Sweden?
Yeah.
It's nice to have a bit of variety.
Yes. Mm. Okay, we're near the end. It's nearly over. Song number 10, Cornelia Jacobs, Hold Me Closer. So I see this one as a straddler of Radio 1 and 2.
Yes, I can see it appealing to younger people and older people.
Yes, exactly. It spans that demographic. So here in the UK, we would hear it on the two most popular kind of music radio stations from the BBC, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of staging, because again, this is one we've not seen since it was an original Heat performance.
Yeah.
Nothing really changed. The simplicity of it makes it stand out, I think.
Nothing needed to change on it.
It's just her and a big circle with a spotlight pointed at it that goes red to green to white.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And she's got that fancy mic. Well, I say fancy. It's an old-fashioned,
wired
mic. Vintage. Which she doesn't need to have. It is all for show.
Mm-hmm.
But she sells it. What did you say she reminded you
of? She reminded me a little bit of Bonnie Tyler with that kind of like raspy voice.
Yeah, she was favourite all the way, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was the bookies' favourite. All the polls that we were seeing across the Eurovision fan sites were pointing to her being the leader. It seems that the bookies weren't wrong, basically.
No.
So let's have a look at her point breakdown. How did she do with the international juries?
Well, it's a definite. The bookies definitely had it right, because in the international jury, she came top of the leaderboard with 76 points. And then in the televote, she came second with 70.
Wow.
Scoring the grand total of 146 points and the win.
Oh, so that was 25 points ahead of Anders?
Yep.
Gosh. So by no means a certain victory.
No.
It could have it's the juries that swung it for her. But do you think this could be the song that gives Sweden their seventh win?
I couldn't say, because I've only heard like a few of the entries that are actually going through to Eurovision. I haven't heard everything yet. I've heard Sweden, UK, Norway, and then I think a couple of others, but I can't remember which countries they were representing. So I couldn't say yet.
I think it's fairly strong. I think of the songs that I've heard, again, I've not heard every single one. I've heard a lot of them, and not many of them really stand out to me at the moment. I think Cornelia Jacobs has a fairly strong chance. I certainly think she will score highly, and I think she'll be there or thereabouts.
Ooh. I should remind you of this.
I know.
Come May 2022. See how right you were.
The comments I'm seeing online of people that are far more informed than me when it comes to Eurovision are... And I feel like I'm fairly informed. The opinion seems to be that it's not lining up to be a strong year for Eurovision at the moment.
Yes.
Whereas last year was... very strong. Everybody's pulling out the stops after a year off.
That's true. They had plenty of time.
Do you think people are remembering the last time Italy hosted Eurovision and the train wreck that was, and thinking, no, what's the point?
I actually quite liked a lot of the songs from 91.
Yeah, the songs. What about everything else?
Oh, everything else.
Everything else was an absolute disaster.
That's true.
Like, they've got a lot of improvement to do for this year, so good luck to you too.
True. The bar is pretty low. Right. Song number 11 then, Cassiopeia.
Oh,
I can't get enough. Can we get enough of Cassiopeia?
No, I couldn't. I loved it. It was fantastic. It was bright. It was colourful. Going back to what you were saying about Theos, about being it being bubblegum, this is absolutely hubba bubba bubblegum.
It's proper Katy Perry, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like Katy Perry beats She-Ra, all kind of rolled into this ball of beautiful energy.
It's just the colours, isn't it? There's rainbows everywhere. There's glitter. You know, she's sparkling across the stage. It's the most colourful performance, isn't it? I felt she was getting a bit shouty in this performance.
Yeah, maybe she was a little bit loud and forcing her voice maybe a little bit too much.
Mm.
But it's such a fun song and a fun performance.
Was it ever really a contender, though?
I'm not sure. I've had high hopes for it.
I enjoy it a lot, and I will listen to this song a lot. But I didn't really think it would win. I think you said before, Alex, with it being a second chancer, it's rare for a second chancer to win the overall thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
The thing as well is, like, I knew, like, who would like it more. And I think looking at the results on it, I think I was definitely right in my assumptions on that.
Yes.
So how did she do?
So, international jury, she came 11th with 26 points. So, not a big fan in the juries.
No, I didn't think they'd like it. They've got no taste, those juries.
What about Televote?
Televote, you know, I thought this was going to be one that, you know, the public would like. And I was quite right. Although it wasn't in, like, one of the big scorers, it came 6th place with 29 points.
No, I think that's all the 3 to 9-year-olds smacking the 12. that one.
All in all, she came a 9th place with 55 points.
Respectable. And I wanted to come back. If she can bring more stuff like that, then she's absolutely welcome to come back and give us more of that.
It's weird, isn't it? You see some of these artists that come back to Melfest time and time and time again and never win.
Linda Bainzing, you mean?
Oh, don't be mean. I'm not trying to be mean.
I'm just saying. But there must be something about the competition that people love competing in it to keep coming back, even though they've never won.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's fun, and it's a great platform for your music. I was actually looking at the some of the viewing figures for this year's Melfest. 75% of the population are watching.
Wow.
Or I should say 75% of the viewing audience. We shouldn't assume that everybody's got a TV.
No.
But that is huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
75% of the available audience were watching Melfest. That is almost unheard of in the UK. We don't think we could ever get a show. Because this isn't like a big sporting event. This isn't the World Cup. This isn't the national team.
No.
Or anything like that. It's not the Olympics. It's not the Queen making a speech. It's just a music show to pick a song for Eurovision, but 75% of the available TV audience tune in.
It shows how important it is to the Swedish people, I think.
Yeah. It's mind-blowing.
Mm.
So, our last song of the night, song number 12, Medina, Ina Idiman.
It's grown on me.
I would agree.
I think it's different from a lot of stuff we've heard from Sweden in terms of their Melfest entries, but I think that's definitely proved to be in its favour because, you know, looking at the voting for it, it had, in terms of its style, it was sort of a bit more kind of, how would you describe it?
Well, that's the issue. It's difficult to say how I would describe the style and the genre of it. And that might be why it stood out, because it didn't really fit any particular genre. Because it did do so much better with the juries than what I thought it would do.
Yeah.
It reminds me, and I know we've said this a couple of times, it reminds me of a song you'd hear on the football terraces at a football match.
Mm.
It,
yeah.
It's very chanty. Mm. Like, my team's better than your team, yeah, sort of thing.
It would be their version of Sweden's equivalent of Sweet Caroline or something, or You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah, or Delilah for Stoke City fans out there.
Is that what they
Yeah.
Or Wild Rover for Blackburn.
Yeah. It's, and the kind of like some of the instrumentation in Need Your Man reminded me of the Vuvuzelas from the 2010 World Cup.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Those annoying.
Yeah, very annoying.
So yeah, I mean they ramped up the pyro a little bit more. It was a proper good song to end on, I think.
Yeah.
Because the kind of party atmosphere to it was really good. They tweaked some of the strobing in the video and stuff like that. Mm. And it was just one of those songs that gets everybody going, yeah. Mm. Just like you're whipping up a crowd at a football match, as you said. So let's have a look at the scores on the Doors. How did they do with the international jury?
Medina were a solid third throughout, so third with the international jury with 53 points, third on the televotes with 56 points, and third overall with 109.
Oh, very consistent then. Yeah. I think the international jury result is a massive surprise.
Yeah.
Because I guess we thought that the international jurors may look down on it slightly. You know, this is a chanty football song. Plus, it's in Swedish, so not quite as accessible, perhaps, as some of the other songs. But the international jury this year, when you look at their top five, we have got three songs in Swedish.
Yeah.
And only two in English in their top five.
Yeah.
So it really shows that's not a barrier. Now, I wonder if this will have an effect on next year. Mm. Will more artists feel more confident in putting forward a Swedish language song, knowing that it's not going to alienate an international jury, perhaps?
Maybe. Because all the Swedish language songs, as you say, were all in the top five for the jury votes.
For the international jury. But when we look at where they were in the televote, we've got one, two, three. I think... So you got Medina on at third, but then the other two were in the bottom five.
Yeah.
On that. So that is it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cornelia is going to Turin. Was it the right song out of all of those 12?
Yes.
I think so.
It was not my personal favourite out of all of them, which doesn't say it's a bad song, because it was. It was a really good song. Like, I was rooting all the way for Anders to get through. But, in the end, the right song was picked. It has everything that it needs to be a good Eurovision song. And I wish Cornelia the best of luck going forward.
Yeah, I think it's going to do some business for them.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I mean, definitely.
They have done very well anyway the last 10 years or so. I don't see that changing.
Nope.
It's one of those performances you look at and you think that's Eurovision ready, you could lift and shift that.
Yeah,
she could take her big, you know, circle screen thingy and drop it on the stage in Turin, stick a spotlight on it, and get her old-fashioned mic, and she is good to go.
Yeah,
with that. I hope they don't really change it. They don't tend to be honest,
no,
do they?
No.
It's not one of these countries that feels the need to go and tweak their show between the national final and the Eurovision. So I think what we've seen in Melfest is what we're going to see in Turin. We're not going to see anything massively different.
Mm.
And it would be silly if she did go and start tweaking it. It's fine as it is, just leave it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So overall then, as we look back on Melfest 2022, a good year?
Yeah.
I think so. I think it took me a while to warm to some of the songs, but they definitely were growers. So, yeah, a good year. Good. The final was strong.
Enjoyable year, and Oscar hit his stride eventually.
Eventually.
a wobbly first week for everybody because of the app collapsing on them. But to their credit, they fixed it all and nothing else went wrong at all after that. They were back on track. And bearing in mind, as we said all the way back on week one, this was supposed to be a tour all around Sweden.
Mm.
And it all got cancelled at very short notice, just a couple of weeks to go, and they had to rearrange it all for Stockholm. And so it was very fluid. Plans were changing, and indeed they changed over the 6 weeks, as we saw ramping up of numbers and tweaks to the show, etc. So well done to the production team at SVT and the new team in charge now that Christopher Bjorkman's no longer heading it up. I think they did an amazing job.
Yeah, it was a good show, a good series of arena shows, and yeah.
So, Oscar for 2023?
Maybe not.
Host? Yeah. Contestant?
Contestant, maybe, no, actually.
You know what? You know, he's done a couple of years hosting. Maybe it's given him a taste.
Yeah.
I want to be back on that stage.
Yeah.
Get the Melfest bug.
He does like performing.
Yeah.
He does. Well, that is it for another year for Mellow Pod. Oh. Kind of sad now.
Yeah.
But fear not, we shall be back for Eurovision week, won't we?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be giving you our thoughts on the semis and the grand finale.
Final.
Sorry. Right. Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it. And we'll see you again soon. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.